Hello, New Life Church. It's hard to believe that we're coming to the end of our study here with the life of Christ. You know, we've journeyed mainly through the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, studying the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ. And we know as we study this word together, we can see that God's greatest revelation of himself, it was and is Jesus. We opened up this study really with the question and the challenge of what does it mean to be a disciple? However, I think one of the greatest teachings that when we look at is not just studying synoptic gospels, but really looking at one gospel in particular, and that is the Gospel of John. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 15, and there's an interesting word that John uses as he talks about discipleship with this word, abide. True discipleship means to be united to Christ, to be in Christ, and to live in Christ. John chapter 15, let's look what the word says here. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He says, every branch in me, there it is again, this word, abide, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And in verse 3, he says, you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. And then he gives us a challenge about discipleship here in verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And then verse 5, he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. But then Jesus goes on to say, apart from me, you can do nothing. What an incredible picture of discipleship. This is a metaphor in which Jesus is saying, look, as I'm about to complete my work in the next few hours, which we're going to read here, he says, look, I'm becoming the source of all life and fruitfulness. Jesus, when we study this about discipleship, it was all about being obedient to the Father. John 14, verse 31, he says, but I do what the Father requires of me. What is that obedience? I want you to zero in on this, and I want you to catch this. The obedience that Jesus is talking about, it comes back to Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. And Jesus, it says here, it says, in being found in human form, talking about Jesus, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. As we look at our study here, we see that one of the greatest highlights, one of the greatest illustrations of discipleship was the way that Jesus fulfilled this in his call and his obedience to that call. Go back with me to Luke chapter 15, and this week we're studying really the death and the resurrection of Christ. And Luke 15, verse 14 through 20, it says, and when the hour came, he reclined at the table with his apostles with him. And he says this, he says, look, I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. We know the season was Passover, and there's a lot to say about this. Verse 16, it says, for I tell you, I will eat until it's fulfilled, the kingdom of God. And then in verse 17, it says, he took the cup. We know this cup is symbolic of the Messiah that was to come. And he gave thanks to this. And he says, look, take this and divide it amongst yourself. And he says, for I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God has come. And then this is where it gets into the Lord's Supper. We're talking about, again, his death and his resurrection. And he said he took the bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body. I want you to catch this, which is given for you. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Verse 28 goes on. It says, likewise, he took the cup after eating. He says, this is the cup that is poured out for you, and this is the cup of my covenant, the new covenant. Here's what we see, guys. Jesus became our Passover. As a matter of fact, we know that Jesus became the substitute that day. He became truly the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus, I want you to see this, he did this willingly. That's why Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Why? Because of his obedience. Obedience to the point of death. But also remember this, he says, this is my body given for you. Jesus took our place, guys. As we recall here today, I want you to think about his death. Think about the shedding of blood. Think about the new covenant. It's all about God's grace God's judgment was fully poured out on Jesus. And Jesus went obedient to that to the point of death. But not only do we remember his death, we remember his resurrection. John chapter 10, again, verse 17, he says, "Look, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay my life down." And he says, "I may take it up again." Again, talking about the death and resurrection of Christ. Romans 5:10, it says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his death, how much more now," talking about, again, resurrection, "shall we be reconciled, shall we be saved by his life?" And the last verse here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the Father, the God of Father, our Lord Jesus Christ." And I want y'all to catch this. "According to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Let my prayer for all of us is today is to remember Jesus, to call upon his mercy, to call upon his grace for the forgiveness of our sins. And ultimately, this whole thing throughout is that we can truly walk out the life he's called us to live. And that's through Jesus Christ and him alone. That's my prayer for us. Let's remember his mercy. Let's remember his death, and let's remember his resurrection. In Jesus' name.